Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll get an update from the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade in Kuwait, learn about the Hastings Veterans Home, and hear from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
This week, our nation celebrates the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. He may be remembered most for the speech he delivered from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial during the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. In that 1963 speech, Dr. King famously said, "I have a dream." Even more powerful than that iconic moment, Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. was a distinguished leader. He had the courage to act on his convictions in spite of danger. He challenged the nation to live out the true meaning of its creed, that all people are created equal, and they have the right to liberty, life, and the pursuit of happiness. Finally, Dr. King was inclusive. He set out to bring us together, not to tear us apart. Inspired by Dr. King, the Minnesota National Guard is committed to building and sustaining an organizational climate in which people of diverse backgrounds, cultures, races, religions, and ethnicities are fully included, valued, and respected. The challenges in Minnesota will be met by the Minnesota National Guard, comprised of diverse citizen soldiers and airmen. Tomorrow, many of us in the Minnesota National Guard will join the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s breakfast in Minneapolis and celebrate his life, reflect on his dream, and remember a man who showed a nation how to lead.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me out today, all the way from Kuwait, is the commander of the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade, Colonel Greg Thingvold. Colonel, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be online with you again and give another update with what the 34th CAB is doing here in Kuwait and around the region.
Sir, it's been a while. We talked to you before you deployed and before you went out for training, and then we talked to you a little bit from the Minnesota State Fair. And it's been, from all reports, quite a busy deployment.
Absolutely. And, you know, 1 year ago, who would have thought the environment would be what it is today? And we got a little indication when we were at Fort Hood over the summer of some of the changing events here in theater. But I can say that the 34th CAB is doing very well and really setting the stage for what will look to be a persistent presence, you know, back in Iraq and resetting some of the areas and bases that we used to be at a few years ago, let alone still doing some great partnerships in the region here throughout Kuwait.
Sir, I think when you were preparing for this deployment and training up for it, we all thought that you were probably going to go over there and do some training with the Kuwait National Guard and some of the other nations there, and I don't think it changed a little bit, didn't it?
It did, and so, you know, that's been, you know, a very rewarding part is to support Operation Inherent Resolve up north, and so, you know, certainly have a piece in that, but as you mentioned, it's still a fast-paced effort in the region here, not only to partner with the Kuwaitis and do some great training events with them, but we've had some great engagements and training opportunities with the Jordanians. Been out to Saudi Arabia and are getting some things going out there, and we continue to push into some other areas like Qatar and UAE, who have a high level of interest with working with us as well.
Colonel Thingvold, I think you explained to us the last time we were on that you went with about 220 soldiers from the Minnesota Army National Guard, and you were joining some other troops from other areas, and you were providing command of a larger force. Can you describe that for us?
Absolutely, Tom. Yeah, we hit Fort Hood with about 1,100 troops total. Actually, the 1,100 we got in theater was more like about 700, 800. At Fort Hood, and there's an attack battalion that falls under us that's active duty that's already over here. And so that total brings us up to about 1,100. And we're about an even mix of National Guard, Army Reserve, and then the active component, which is the attack battalion. But since then, we're actually starting to grow. The demand over here for aviation is increasing, and So the cab is in the process of growing, and by the time we leave here, we'll probably be closer to about 1,400. And then even over the next year, the cab is going to grow even bigger to what will look to be a full-size combat aviation brigade, again, mainly because of the need over here, again, not only to support Operation Inherent Resolve, but also to sustain some of the training partnerships here in the region.
So, sir, that would include the assault helicopters and the maintenance crew and the headquarters and everything you need to sustain yourself from Camp Bering.
Absolutely. And so a lot of what goes on here is aviation maintenance and then, of course, the training side. Our attack battalion does quite a bit of training out at the range that's not too far from us at Camp Bering here, and they'll do a lot of joint exercises with the Kuwaitis. They have Apaches as well. And then on the utility side, there's air assault training, and there's combined training not only with the attack battalion but with the infantry brigade that's here as well. And so we'll be in any given week conducting air assault missions, air assault training, joint air attack team training. So it's quite the environment to get after some higher level complex integrated training with not only other services, the Marines and Navy, but you know, our other country partners, the Kuwaitis, and then even some of the other countries that have come in to support what's going on up north, some of the countries that have some of their jets here, and interoperability with them is something that we work towards as well.
We're speaking with Colonel Greg Thingvold, the commander of the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, you've told us about all of the training that's going on. You're actually, are you actually flying some missions into Iraq as well?
Me personally, no. I keep my flying down here, and we've got some great troopers up north getting after it. So we provide attack capability to Operation Inherent Resolve. We also have some medevac and just regular utility capability. They're busy, and it's again, great place to be. It's you know, being on that leading edge of, you know, this kind of reentry and sustaining and increasing the capability of the Iraqis to get after the threat that they need to get after. And again, it's going well. The team is doing very well.
So, sir, what would you say are some of the 34th CAB's greatest accomplishments so far in this deployment?
Well, and, you know, I would say it's supporting the effort up north is certainly a big part of it. There's a lot of movement of people and equipment between Kuwait and Iraq, and that's really no easy measure. It's all done basically with the Air Force and their big aircraft, the C-17s and C-130s. And so we've really become movement experts, and that really carries the day. So really becoming well-versed in how to move in a complex environment is something we're very proud of, as well as just the partnering that we've done down here. We've done some overwater training, hoist training, as well as personnel recovery out of the northern Arabian Gulf with the Kuwaitis. And so enhancing some of their capability that they haven't done before, as well as with the Jordanians. On an almost monthly basis, we're sending teams out there to enhance their capability, whether that's refueling or attack mission planning, assault mission planning, and a lot more things. And so I think those partnerships really are motivation for the troops and really leaves them with a sense of accomplishment to help regional partners out who are really growing in their capability, which they necessarily need to in this part of the region.
Colonel, it sounds like it's been pretty darn busy every day in this deployment.
It is, and as we receive more aviation capability here growing the cab, it is a full-time effort. And then, again, sustaining the team up north and making sure they have what they need, and you know, as well as getting after just the typical training that we're doing here, the interoperability that we're doing with the Navy is pretty rewarding as well, where we get out and do some deck landing on some of the smaller Navy ships very challenging at times, because operating over the Gulf can be its own set of challenges, whether it's visibility or just getting after the ships and finding them and getting on the single deck or multi-spot landings. Pretty challenging, but crews love it. It's a great place to be.
Sounds like some great training, sir. We have to take a short break. We'll be back with Colonel Greg Thingvold, the commander of the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with Colonel Greg Thingvold, the commander of the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade from Camp Baring Kuwait. Colonel, I'm sure some of our listeners would like to ask about the conditions on the ground. Now, we've been occupying Camp Baring on and off for, must be over a decade now. Is everybody housed pretty well?
Yeah, Tom, it's pretty good. It's, you know, certainly it's, like you said, this camp has been here a while, and certainly a noticeable increase in the amount of troops here. And so it is getting a little tight, but the housing is still adequate, and we're not at capacity here, but it's not bad. But we do expect at some point this spring that some of the troops that we gain over the next couple months will be going into tents for a short term. But they're air conditioned, you know, so that's not so bad. But it's not bad here. It has pretty much everything you need here with the morale, welfare, recreation side of the house, and the food is okay. You can't really complain about that. And like we were talking about earlier, it's a great place to work. It's a lot of variety of training and missions that we can do out of here.
Colonel, when we were over there in November of 2011 to do a live show from Kuwait, it amazed me. It shouldn't have, but American soldiers have an ability to make themselves at home, even in the middle of the desert. They had coffee, and they had a pretty good chow, nice place to sleep, a BX. They have a way of moving in and making sure they have some comforts.
It is, you know, it's always been kind of interesting. When I first came through here in 2007, I guess I didn't expect to see green bean trailers, you know, these little coffee houses here. And so we have a couple green bean trailers here. We've got a Starbucks. And then we do have some food court kind of trailers. If you know, the troops are getting a little bored of the dining facility here. And then you're right, the PX here has got pretty much everything you need. It's not the biggest place to go shopping, but certainly has the basic necessities. So it's not bad. It's just you put up a lot with a lot of sand and dirt, and like today, a little bit of rain today, which is a rare event around here. So now we'll have to put up with a little bit of mud for the next couple of days.
Sir, how's the connectivity? Are your soldiers able to stay in contact with their families back home?
It's good. Each of the living areas is wired for Wi-Fi. Now, some will have to buy their own. Like for me, I'll buy a monthly service. A lot of the soldiers will share some Wi-Fi services and share the cost, which isn't too bad. But the connectivity is really well. So the ability to stay connected back home is very good. Certainly better than it was when a lot of us deployed in years past, so you can't really complain from that side of it.
Sir, I've heard a report that our Yellow Ribbon communities, and in particular the Hugo Yellow Ribbon community, had done a pretty good job of sending some gift boxes over to our soldiers.
Oh, absolutely. Chuck Haas and team out of Hugo doing a great job, and we certainly thank them and their efforts. They've done very well, but we've definitely had other groups and other entities send care packages over the months, and the soldiers really enjoy it. I tell you, it's, you know, being away over the holiday seasons is never a fun time, but, you know, the amount of care that we get through just the kindness of people sending, whether that's, you know, home-baked goods or blankets or necessities of life, toothpaste, toothbrushes, those kind of things. It's enjoyable. I can tell you though, sometimes the amount of candy and sweets that we get is a little overwhelming. We have to clean house every now and then because it piles up. But it's good. I would much rather have that problem than not receive stuff.
Sounds like you got a need for some more 5Ks, sir.
That's right. We got a half marathon coming up here shortly, and that's the name of the game. Got to keep exercising.
We're speaking with Colonel Greg Thingvold, the commander of the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade from Camp Baring, Kuwait, on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, so it sounds like conditions are good and connectivity is good. What kind of shape? How's the morale of our troops?
Excellent. And again, you know, this environment has just got us all very engaged and busy with the training side, with supporting the troops up north. And so the mission focus is real every day and in many, many areas growing. And the other thing that's been certainly motivating is, even though we're still a few months out from wrapping our tour up, we're actively in the phase of prepping for the transfer to the next unit that's coming in behind us. And that in and of itself is certainly starts to energize as we see the end coming fairly near. These months just fly by. And so again, with some of the additional aviation capability that's coming into the cab and integrating those crews and those aircraft is certainly keeping us busy. But again, just the preparing for the end of our time here is very energizing.
Colonel, we had last weekend on the show, we had on Serving Our Troops and Fox Sports North, and they told us about all the preparations for Hockey Day Minnesota. Serving Our Troops was bringing hockey over to your troops this time instead of steaks. Were your soldiers excited about that?
Absolutely. It's been a great event. The boot hockey tournament has been well underway. The rink that was built in one of our hangars has absolutely been great. I'm sure the people have enjoyed watching some of the activity that we've been having over here. And so it's fun for our troops. It's a source of competition. But it has been a great way to connect back home with the amazing setup back at home and field is just absolutely astounding what they've done, and so to be able to partner and share the experience has been a huge morale booster, let alone with the individuals that we're hosting over here and having fun with for the time that they're spending with us. It's just a treat to have individuals take time out of their schedules and come over here, Lou Nanny and Tom Reed and the many others. It's been great.
Sir, I don't know where you found that hockey puck out in the desert to send back to us to start up the Hockey Day Minnesota, but that was pretty fun to watch.
We have a great public affairs team, and we just have fun doing those kind of things. And so it was a great idea that came about, and I just, you know, when I saw it for the first time, it was fun. It was a fun way, again, to connect a little bit of what we're doing here with the great event back home.
Well, sir, I hope the deployment is going well for you. Do you have any idea when we can expect the 34th Cab to come home?
Well, we're on track. You know, it's going to be the first part of May, and we're not seeing anything that would really derail that. And so the excitement is building. Again, it's just hard to believe that we're really not that far away from getting back to Fort Hood for a little bit and get our demob done through there, and then you'll see us back in Minnesota very soon. May is not that far away.
Colonel, we've got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners back home?
Well, just, you know, again, want to thank Serving Our Troops and all the Yellow Ribbon Networks, the family programs, and truly the families. In the end, it's really the spouses and families and moms and dads and brothers and sisters that really carry the day to help, you know, when we're away from home. And these activities are just certainly great milestones to look forward to. And certainly Tom, you and your radio show is a great, you know, blessing to any of the units that deploy. It's a great way to be heard and tell a little bit of our story. And I know there's a lot of people back home that are proud of the troops that do what they're called to do in these pretty challenging times.
Colonel, thanks for joining us today, and we're looking forward to having you and all our Minnesota National Guard soldiers back home in May.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tom.
That was Colonel Greg Thingvold, the commander of the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade from Camp Bering, Kuwait, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with the Veterans Hastings Veterans Home. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about the Hastings Veterans Home. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
In 1983, legislation was signed creating a federal holiday marking the birthday of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. In 1994, Congress designated the Martin Luther King, Jr. federal holiday as a National Day of Service. This milestone is the perfect opportunity for Americans to honor Dr. King's legacy through service. Dr. King believed in a nation of freedom and justice for all, and encouraged all citizens to live up to the purpose and potential of America by applying the principles of nonviolence to make this country a better place to live, creating the beloved community. I encourage you to volunteer your service and move our nation closer to Dr. King's vision of a beloved community. Volunteer at a veterans home, a VA hospital, or an organization of your choice to make a difference.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the woodshop coordinator from the Minnesota Veterans Home in Hastings, Michael Creel. Michael, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Michael, I didn't know we had a woodshop down in Hastings. Can you tell me how long have you been there?
Well, I've been there about 15 years. The woodshop has been in existence since 1993.
And so you've been there 15 years, and how did you arrive at the Hastings Veterans Home?
Well, I took a job as a part-time delivery van driver, and this job just kind of came up about 6 months later, and I tested for it and got the job.
Well, that's better than arriving in an ambulance or something like that, isn't it?
Well, quite a bit, I think.
So what does a woodshop coordinator do for the Hastings compensated woodshop?
Well, I arrange for work to be done. We do a lot of production work, which is the construction of flag cases, display cases, which we ship all over the country and parts of the other outer world also. mostly my job is to keep the guys employed and safe, keep them from hurting themselves.
Well, let's talk about the guys. Are the guys some of the residents from the Hastings Veterans Home?
Yeah, they all live there. They're all residents there.
So the ones that are mentally and physically sharp enough can apply for, is this part-time work in the woodshop?
Sure. Yeah, it's 16 hours a pay period, which is every 2 weeks.
So they can go over there and get some minimum wage and earn some money so they can buy gum and soda pop and whatever it is they want to buy.
Yeah. Yeah, they get to keep it.
Well, good for them. So how many guys work with you in the woodshop?
I have four guys doing the regular work, the production, and the custom work. And I have one fellow who keeps the place immaculate as a janitor.
Well, you always got to have somebody cleaning up after the mess, don't you?
Yes.
So what's a typical day for one of your guys?
Well, we open at 10 o'clock and we work till noon. And we do that Monday through Thursday. And we're building Ethiopian drum skeletons for the drum maker, who is located in Minneapolis.
Ethiopian drum skeletons.
Yes.
Where in the world did that come from, Michael?
I just thought of it right now. this fellow has been distributing drums all over the world, and he's now subbing out some of the work to us.
So you're building the framework or the skeleton for that, and then he finishes them up after he gets...
Yeah, it's like building a barrel. We also do the smaller hand drums.
So do they come in with a plan and say, this is what I want?
That's it.
And your guys that work with you are handy enough that they can read those plans and run all the equipment?
They can invent their own plans sometimes.
Really?
They're very good.
That's good to know. So how big is the shop and what kind of equipment do you have?
Well, I'd say it's about 20 by 40, and we have just about any tool that you might find in a regular wood shop. table saws, radial arm saws, chop saws.
So is this woodshop, Michael, like a separate department? You build things and you sell them, and the money goes back in and pays the guys and helps you do more? Is that how it works?
Yeah, the woodshop is self-sufficient. As you said, the fellas get paid for working in there, and we buy all of our own wood, all our own tools. Everything is paid for from the proceeds of the materials that we sell.
So how many hours a week did you say the guys work in there?
8 hours a week. They put out a lot of work in 8 hours.
8 hours per week?
Yep.
Per guy?
Yep.
So you're getting 32 hours worth of production?
Well, yeah.
All right. Well, they're not breaking a sweat too hard on that, are they?
Oh, they work pretty hard while they're there.
What kind of a variety of things have you built over the 15 years?
We have built furniture for the commissioner. We've built furniture. We furnished the deputy commissioner's office, our administrator's assistant. We could build just about anything that comes up.
So if those other departments needed some equipment or some furniture, then they can come down to you and you build it and sell it to them for a certain price, and that money comes back in to help you be self-sufficient in your shop.
That's correct.
So nobody's getting anything for free.
Not a bit.
I wanted to be careful about that. And I understand you build some flag cases as well.
The flag cases are our main staple. That's a certain profit that we can count on. We ship them. We recently shipped to our final state, which is Vermont. We have all 50 states now. We've shipped to Great Britain, Germany, Afghanistan, and Canada and Mexico.
How do you find your customers for those flag cases?
A lot of it is word of mouth. We also advertise in the Minnesota Legionnaire on a quarterly basis.
We're speaking with Michael Creel, the Minnesota Veterans Home and Hastings Woodshop Coordinator on Minnesota Military Radio. Michael, it sounds like you keep the guys pretty busy.
Busy as I can get them.
So have you got a backlog of work?
Yeah, we're comfortably behind right now.
Comfortable behind. You're not worried about next week or the week after.
No, everyone stays employed.
All right. Who's been employed the longest of the four guys you have? How long have they been employed?
Since 92. No, 2002. Sorry.
So one of them has been working in there over 10 years?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that's great. And he's still able to do all of that?
he sure is.
I imagine the guys that are eligible to work in the woodshop have to be physically and mentally in pretty good shape because you're dealing with a lot of tools in there.
Yeah, we can't have anyone getting hurt, and they have to be able to handle themselves.
So you have good chop rules on how to do things and how not?
Absolutely, and they're enforced.
And they're enforced.
Yes.
What's the most unusual thing you've built in 15 years?
I think it was the Ethiopian drums. We had no clue as to how to build a barrel. We had to learn.
So did he find you through your ad in the Legionnaire?
Yes, he did.
He did? I'm going to have to come down there and see one of those things.
Yes, you should.
So if somebody wants to buy a flag case, how do they get a hold of you?
We have a website on Minnesota Veterans Homes.
So they go to minnesotaveteran.org and click on homes, and they go in there and they can...
Go to Hastings in the lower right-hand corner, it'll say woodshop.
Woodshop, all right. And so then they can contact you that way and order whatever they need.
Sure.
How many of these flag cases do you think you've sold per year? Just a guess.
300 or 400.
Per year?
Yeah. That's just the flag cases. We also handle display cases. They're sometimes bought in conjunction with the flag cases for medals and
photos. Challenge coins and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Sure.
So in each of those, in the cases and in the flag cases, you make those out of different types of wood?
We mostly make them out of red oak. We also do walnut and whatever comes up. We're doing some special work for one of the banks that we use mahogany.
You can do it that nice.
Oh, yes.
Now, do you have a place where you put some finish on this wood when it's done?
Sure. We have separate rooms. We have the main cutting room. We have a separate room for finishing, which is well ventilated.
So like a paint booth?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
And we have a storage room where we keep all the stuff, and we have a clean room for assembling. We also do picture framing.
Sounds like a real business.
Oh, yes, it is.
Michael, we have to take a short break. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're speaking with Michael Creel from the Minnesota Veterans Home in Hastings, the woodshop coordinator. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been joined today by Michael Creel, who is the compensated woodshop coordinator from the Minnesota Veterans Home in Hastings. And Michael, for those listeners that are just tuning in, you have a woodshop in one of the buildings by the near or on the campus of the Minnesota Veterans Home in Hastings. And tell us about that once again. Who's eligible to work there and what kind of things do you do?
Well, the veterans that live there are eligible to work in the wood shop. We build flag cases, display cases, and we do a lot of custom work on furniture and just about anything that comes up.
And your shop's completely, you've got all the tools you need?
We have all the tools we need.
So you can make anything from scratch, any kind of wood, and you can finish it and ship it, and just like downtown.
We can do just about everything that needs doing.
All right. Now, these veterans, you said you've got four veterans that are currently working with you in the shop and another one that helps clean up the shop. It's my guess that they're pretty happy to have something to do besides just sitting in their rooms down there. Is this therapeutic for them?
Well, they're really proud of the work that they do because the quality is very high quality, and they have a sense of belonging. They're a sense of just a general well-being, part of the community. They're able to contribute money back into the home for the benefit of the rest of the veterans.
And the wood shop is self-sufficient. The things that you make and you sell, the money comes back in. You use that to pay the guys and buy the wood and do all of that. And so this isn't taxpayer money that's funding the guys' ability to do this.
No, we're entirely self-sufficient.
And I'll bet those four or five guys that work down there develop pretty good friendship and camaraderie.
Sure. Everyone works very well together. It's very close quarters in there, so they have to get along, and everybody likes each other.
Would you say that the products that you ship out are high quality?
They're about the highest quality. That's why we get a lot of our business through word of mouth. A number of the service clubs will buy between 4 and 12 flag cases at a time.
So the veterans that do this work and work for you in the wood shop take great pride in what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, they should.
Well, I'm not ready for the home yet, but if I ever am, this sounds like something that'd be a nice place to be part of down in the wood shop.
We'd be glad to have you.
Well, reserve me a spot, and maybe I'll get there in 20 or 30 years, Michael. Once again, for our listeners, if they want to buy a flag case or a challenge coin case or they've got something else that they'd like to order made out of wood, they can find you at MinnesotaVeterans.org under the homes and click in and find the contact information. And just call down there and talk to you and order up whatever they need.
That's all there is to it.
Sounds pretty easy to me. Michael, what do you think in 15 years that you've been there, what's your favorite part of the job?
I like to just see what the guys can do when they're presented with a problem. They figure it out and put it all together. Present it to somebody and get paid for it. It makes me feel good that they can do that.
And you're kind of the coach then?
Well, yeah, I'm sort of that.
Do they come in the morning and say, "Hi, coach," or do they say, "Hello, boss," or what do they do?
They say, "Turn the power on, will you, so we can get started."
And where's the coffee?
They bring their own.
Well, it sounds like you've got a nice facility down there, and you're doing some good work, and it's therapeutic for the guys, and I hope some of our listeners order up some of those flag cases and some of those challenge coin cases. Any final thoughts for our listeners about the wood shop at the Minnesota Veterans Home?
No, we'd be glad to do business with you, and just let us know what you need.
All right, Michael, I'd like to thank you for coming to see us today.
It's my pleasure, sir. Thanks for having me.
This is Michael Creel. He is the compensated woodshop coordinator from the Minnesota Veterans Home in Hastings. Joining me now is the director of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, Patrick Kelly. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, it's great being back. Thank you for asking me to come back on your show.
Sir, every time I go out to your facility, I see more and more activity, a lot of things going on.
You know, we had a good year last year in terms of new things, our veteran-centered care initiatives. You know, some of the newest things we've done and that are proving to be very successful is, you know, as you're very much aware, we opened our new parking ramp on St. Patrick's Day last year, 520 new spaces, and renovated a lot of our spaces in the entryway near the visitor's entrance so that when veterans come in, they can get a lot of their administrative support services done when they come in. And you know, did some renovations to our travel pay area, so the waiting area was taking veterans out of the hallway and into a more comfortable environment. So we did a lot of good things last year. We got a lot of new construction going on this year to improve services to the emergency room and some of our ORs and other areas. But we've been blessed with some pretty good finances to make some of those improvements, and I think they're making a difference. So I'm pleased to report that I'm hearing good things from veterans about some of those improvements.
Well, the parking certainly is much easier these days, sir, and I, for one, thank you for that.
Well, it's especially helpful in the winter, so we're happy to have a place where veterans can come in and park closer to the facility. You know, it's easier to get to your appointments, and it just makes life easier in these colder months, and so that has been a big success.
Sir, I understand you're working on an ICU expansion?
Yeah, we have, you know, one of the things that we did, it's been about a year or so ago, we expanded our tele-ICU program. And what that is really, Tom, is it allows us to monitor patients remotely here in Minneapolis so that if another site and other medical centers like Sioux Falls or even as far as Walla Walla, Washington, and other places like that in the VA that don't have as robust services as we do for our intensive care providers and our intensive care units, our providers can monitor those patients remotely, and it really extends our services to veterans in areas that would otherwise have to travel to get their services to another larger medical center. And a little bit like our telehealth services, again, the idea is that we take services to veterans and we minimize their travel. We try to make it easier for them to get the care in their, where they live. And the tele-ICU, we're now up to 13 medical centers that we monitor from here in Minneapolis. And Dr. Bob Bonello, who runs that, has done just a terrific job. And this is really, I think, in large part, the future of medicine, where, you know, again, we expand services so that, you know, we take services to veterans. They don't come here. We take it there. And the tele-ICU, like telehealth, is just one more example of how we're doing that.
Technology is changing everything, isn't it, sir?
Very much so. I mean, it's happening in imaging. Again, all kinds of things where, you know, you used to have to travel, and even you don't even need to see your doctor frequently anymore. There are things that, you know, you can go to one of our CBOX. You can go to another medical center. We can get the veteran fixed up so that they can get that service there You know, we can't do some things. I mean, surgery, of course, and other things like that. The more complicated things have to come to the medical center. But we're taking more and more things out to the CBOX. And I like it as a veteran patient, and I know our veterans have responded very favorably to that.
Sir, I know you're involved also with helping with our veterans homeless issue.
Yeah, that's a big program for us, Tom. So this year, actually coming up, January 23rd, we go out and we do what referred to as a point-in-time count in order for us to identify homeless veterans and identify their needs, so what kind of services they're seeking, and then we get vouchers. We have about 500 vouchers that we coordinate with Housing and Urban Development locally, where we support veterans who are at risk for homelessness. As we do these homeless counts, when we identify homeless veterans, that increases the number of vouchers that we can use to help them. And so, you know, housing is one important thing, all of the surrounding services that they also need to make them successful and to get out of their, to improve their plight, to include training and jobs and that kind of thing are also part of this. But our homeless count, again, this year is Friday, January 23rd, and we go to local churches, we go to homeless shelters, we try to identify veterans, and once we do, we make sure that they're getting, they understand what services are available, and we make sure we're offering them sort of the full range of services to help them out.
Sir, I know you're working on some housing for the homeless, and that you participate in the annual stand down, which is going to be in August, and we're looking forward to coming out and doing a show from that stand down so that we can tell everybody about all that great work.
That's good, Tom. That's one of the best things we do. So we get, you know, over 1,000 veterans come to these stand downs, and, you know, the veterans benefits takes part. You know, veterans are getting haircuts, veterans are getting legal advice. We're doing medical exams, really a big community effort. We are just part of that, but that's in August, and I think you'll see when you do your show out there, Tom. It's really a worthwhile effort.
We're looking forward to that, sir. We've got about a minute left. How are your town hall meetings going?
Well, they're going well. So we are about to have our third town hall. It's going to be March 30th, and this time it's going to be back here at the Medical Center. So we did our first one over at the Whipple Building here at the regional office in September. We did one recently in Rochester. That was in December. March 30th back here at the Medical Center, and then we're going to go up to the northern Minnesota to hold one in the summer, and we will continue to do these quarterly. Next one of the new things at the next one, VBA is going to come over, and they're going to hold a claims clinic in advance of the town hall and during the town hall. So from 4 to 7, we'll do claims clinic over here, schedule medical appointments, get some evaluations done, and the town hall itself will be from 5 to 7 in our auditorium. Plenty of parking. I hope as many veterans come as they can, but it's good feedback. It helps us to make sure we're crafting our services to meet veterans' needs.
Director, sounds like you're busy as ever out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center.
Things are good, Tom.
Sir, thank you for joining us again today on Minnesota Military Radio, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, thanks very much.
That was the director of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, Patrick Kelly. We have one mention today. Taya Kyle, widow of American sniper Chris Kyle, will serve as the next Heroes Among Us series speaker on Saturday, February 8th at 7 p.m. at the Bethel Synagogue in St. Louis Park. Taya will offer her take on the spirit of service, as well as the challenges facing veterans, first responders, and their families. A portion of the proceeds of this event will underwrite Bethel's Minnesota National Guard Support Initiative, directly benefiting the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade, the 2nd Battalion, 147th Assault Helicopter Battalion, and the 204th Area Support Medical Company. For more information, visit our Facebook page or go to BESYN.org/American Sniper. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel Greg Thingvold, Michael Creel, Director Patrick Kelly, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we check in with the Army Corps of Engineers in Afghanistan and visit with the Senior Claims Representative from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.